That was awesome. Thank you, guys. And if there is one message truly that you hear tonight, it's that message that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for this night. We thank you for the joy that we can have tonight in knowing you. I thank you for the way that you have gifted your people, that we could come in here and sing music to you, that we could rap to you, that we could serve you all with one goal in mind, to bring you glory. God, we thank you for this place. God, we pray that your Spirit would be mightily at work tonight in this room. We pray for two things. One, I pray that your Spirit would reveal to us that we indeed are in need of rescue. And two, that you have provided that rescue in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray all these things. Amen. Last summer, a woman by the name of Amanda Eller decided she was going to set out to go for a little hike. So she drove her car into the forest preserve in Maui, Hawaii. And as she parked her car, she opened the door and looked back. She saw her water. She saw her phone. But she decided, just a 3-mile hike shouldn't be an issue. I'm going to leave it there. I'll be back soon. Closed the door and walked into the forest. And she began her hike. She walked a little ways, and she was unfamiliar with the paths and made a few turns at different areas that she wasn't sure she should have made, but she thought she was okay. As the day went on, the sun began to set, and it was getting dark, and she realized that she indeed was lost. On top of that, as the darkness set in, she slipped down a ravine and broke her leg, and now she is in the forest, lost in the dark with a broken leg. For the rest of the night, she tried to make her way out of the forest, but she had no idea where she was going. Morning comes, and Amanda's family realizes she never came home. So they call the police, and they set out to rescue Amanda. This whole party goes out by land, by air, to look for Amanda. They search day one. They don't find her. Day two, no Amanda. Day three, still don't find her. They return back to base and decide Amanda's not there. They give up. But Amanda was still very much there, very much still surviving in the forest. Her story is crazy. With a broken leg, she continued to try to find her way out. As she was in the forest, a flood came through and washed her shoes away. Now she's barefoot in the forest. She gets hungry, so she decides to eat moths. At night, it gets cold, so she covers herself in leaves and sleeps in an abandoned wild pig den. Day three, day four, she does this. And again, day five, and day six, and day seven, and day eight. And the days are going on and on as Amanda is fighting to survive in the forest. Well, while the official rescue efforts had been done, a number of volunteers decided to form this army. They were going to find Amanda, and so they set out to find her. And they went all through the forest, dozens of people, helicopters flying above. Day 11, day 12, still no sign of Amanda. On day 13 and 14, Amanda said at that point she started to see the helicopters flying above. She said, I could see my rescue, but I couldn't reach it. Rescue was available. It was so close, but she wouldn't be able to get to it. It would have to come to her. On day 16, as Amanda looks up to the sky, a man rappels from a helicopter down into her dire situation, embraces her, and lifts her back up to safety, to life. I love stories where people are rescued. I love the story of Christmas because it is my rescue story. Because it's your rescue story. What if I told you at the heart of Christmas was a rescue mission? A rescue mission where the search party was looking for us. Some of you are thinking, well, in order to be rescued, you need to be in some sort of danger. So some of you are thinking, well, I don't need rescuing. I'm perfectly fine. But deep down, I truly believe that we know we're not fine. we have these longings deep inside us. We have these longings for joy, to experience joy and peace and hope, to experience true freedom. And we don't know how to fill those longings. So we go about this life trying to fill those the best way we know how. We go after relationships. Maybe that will do it. We go after substances. Maybe that will do it. We go after experiences. Maybe, just maybe, that will fill these longings that I have in my heart and in my soul. And as we go down all these roads, not only do we not find our longings met, but we stumble into sin. See, the Bible says that God longs to have fellowship with us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. He wants to be and can be the fulfillment of all those longings that we have. But we hear that and we think, yeah, nah, I'd rather try to find it elsewhere. I'll find my rescue somewhere else. We think we'll find our own rescue. We think we can manufacture our own joy and peace and freedom in this world. But what we actually find in Scripture is that when we do that, we are simply tightening a set of handcuffs around our wrists. Our search to find freedom anywhere but God, in him, is sin. And Romans 3:23 says that we are all guilty of sin. We all do things, we all think things, we all say things that are not pleasing to a perfect, holy God. And so we fall short of his perfection, short of his holiness, which means we are not allowed to be in his presence. And you say, so what? Well, the Bible tells us that sin brings consequences. Jesus tells us in John 8:34 that whoever practices sin is not going to find freedom. Rather, they are going to become slaves to it. So not only are you not finding freedom in the things of this world, but you are actually enslaving yourselves to these things. And in being a slave, we pay the consequences of it. And the consequences, according to Scripture, are death. Physical death, yep, but not just physical death, spiritual death. Well, what's that? It's a forceful separation of our sinful, rebellious selves from the presence of God forever. Separation from the one who can be the fulfillment of all those longings that we have. We have no access to him. In other words, you are as good as handcuffed to sin as it drags you to eternal separation from fullness of joy that's found in knowing God. And there is nothing you can do to set yourself free. Romans 3:20 says, you can try all you'd like. You can try to find any rescue in this world. You can try to pull off any stunt. But Romans 3 says, there is nothing you can do to break the chains of your slavery to sin. Nothing will justify you before God. We are in desperate need of rescue because our sin is dragging us to death and separation from God. But what if I told you that someone had the key? Throughout the last few weeks, if you've been joining us here at East Swamp, we've been walking through this series called He Shall Be Called. And we looked at this passage in Isaiah, a prophecy that was made to a people who had this intense longing for a king who would be good to them, who would be powerful, who would lead them well. And this prophecy said, a son is going to come and he will be a king unlike any other king. And the prophecy said, and you will call him a few things. You will call him wonderful because he will blow you away with who he is. And you will call him counselor because he will be perfect in the way he guides and leads his people. And on top of that, this king is not going to be like any other king because he is also going to be called mighty God. He will hold all the power, and at the same time, you'll call him everlasting father. He will be a perfect father to his people. Later on in the New Testament, we find out who this king will be. When the angel comes to Joseph and says, hey, you're going to call your son Jesus. He's going to be this king. And you know why you're going to call him Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. He will break the chains that enslave us. In other words, there is one who can bring salvation, one who has the key to set you free. But if this key remains in heaven, it's as good as that key that was in Justin's belly earlier. It does us no good. We can't reach it. This is where the rescue efforts take place. I recently listened to a story that Counselor Diane Langberg shared while she was speaking at Karen University. Diane Langberg, she specializes in trauma counseling, and so she goes all around the world to hear about people's suffering and how she can help and how she can better counsel. And so in her travels, she found herself in the country of Ghana. And while she was in Ghana, she visited a place called the Cape Coast Castle. Cape Coast Castle was one of about 40 what they called slave castles in Ghana. This particular castle was used to hold slaves before they were loaded onto ships and sailed across the ocean to be sold into slavery. This particular castle was known as the Gate of No Return, as it was the last stop before crossing the ocean. And so she was visiting this place, and she had this tour guide leading them through this building, and they went down into the dungeons. And as they walked down the hallway, she said she got claustrophobic just thinking about what had taken place there. And the tour guide led them into one specific dungeon and began to tell them about the atrocities that took place in that room. And he said to this tour, he said, over 200 men at one time could have been in this room, chained to one another, chained to the wall, for up to 3 months long before they were sent across the ocean. He went on to tell of the terrible conditions that took place in that room. And then he paused and he said, but do you know what was upstairs? Do you know what was just above this dungeon room? And the tour all looked at each other. They obviously didn't know. And he said, just above this room, just above this dungeon was a chapel. A place where people would gather together and read their Bibles, and pray, and sing songs, and even take up an offering for those less fortunate, would be meeting just above. And the tour guide went on to say, sometimes those suffering below could hear the worship, and sometimes the worshipers above could hear the suffering below. And at this point, Diane Langberg's heart was just thumping, and her stomach was turning. She couldn't believe what was taking place here. And then the tour guide said one more thing. As he pointed to the ceiling of the dungeon, he said these words, heaven above, hell below. To which Diane Langberg replied with these words, I would argue that heaven was not above, because that's not what heaven does. Heaven leaves heaven. The place of comfort, the place of song, the place of plenty and endless wealth, heaven comes down. God came down to lift us up. He became like us so we might become like him. He came to the dungeon where we were enslaved, and he called us to himself. The next few verses that we read in Matthew, we find one more name that this king will be given. Matthew 1:23 says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. If we could condense all the truths of Christmas into only three words, these would be the words. God with us. More astonishing than a baby in a manger is the truth that this is the promised baby who is the all-powerful creator of the heavens and the earth. The infinite became an infant. The all-knowing became a babbling baby. God came to us because we never would have come to him. God came to us because we never could have come to him. But God didn't just come to us. He became one of us. As Athanasius wrote, he became what we are that he might make us what he is. He became God in flesh so we could be made right in God's eyes. God was made low so we could be raised up to eternal life and infinite joys. Through his birth and his perfect life and then his death on the cross, he took all of that sin that enslaved us. He took it upon himself and he put it to death, freeing us from it. He came to set us free. Rescue finds us in Jesus. At Christmas here at East Swamp, as with every other day here, we do our best to make much of Jesus because what he has done for us is incredible. He loved us so much that he would give up heaven. If we got just the tiniest taste of heaven, we wouldn't give it up for anything. He gives up heaven to come to earth so that we might be with him again in heaven. And this message you can only find in Jesus. Nowhere else. Pastor David Platt, one of my favorite preachers, he tells the story of how he was in another country. And he was sitting outside of a temple. And there was two men sitting outside the temple that represented two other religions. So there was three men with three religions sitting outside the temple. And these two men were talking as David Platt was sitting there. And they said, you know, all of our religions are fundamentally the same. They're just superficially different. And David Platt was hearing this. And so he chimed in. He said, it's almost like you picture God or whatever you want to call him at the top of a mountain. And we're all at the bottom of the mountain. I might take this path up. You might take this path up. You might take this path up. But in the end, we'll all be in the same place. And these two men smiled from ear to ear. Yes, exactly. You understand. And he replied, but what if I told you that the God at the top of the mountain didn't wait for us to find our way to him? He actually came down to where we are. And they said, well, that would be great. And he said, well, that's the difference. What we find at Christmas is the story of a God who has not left us alone to try to find our way to him. He has come to us and he has made the way to himself through Jesus. He has rescued us. And the Bible says that this rescue is available to all, even right now. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be rescued. You will be set free. You will be saved. Christmas was God's rescue mission, to come down the mountain from heaven because we couldn't get to him. We were at the bottom of that mountain. We had broken leg. We lost our shoes in the flood. We were handcuffed down there for good. Separated from God, from his presence, from fullness of joy for all of eternity. But, Paul writes in Galatians 4, when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent the Son born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives crying, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of an intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you're a child, you're also an heir with complete access to inheritance, complete access to a perfect heavenly Father. My prayer for you this Christmas is that the chains that weigh your souls down would be broken in the name of Jesus. That you would find freedom in our Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. He's come down from heaven so that you and I might be set free and with him forever.
Lord God, we just hard to fathom that night. And there might have been a little bit of silence there, but we know that you are coming for a rescue mission. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. And we just thank you for fighting for us, for breaking those chains that bind us. And I just pray that for each person here tonight, that this might be the most meaningful Christmas for them. Each one of us might find freedom in you and find hope in you and find joy in you this Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen.